welcome you this morning. It's good to be here, and trust that you're looking forward to a blessing. Let me just talk our way through the announcements, and just to make sure that you see them and hear them. Today, of course, is our fourth Sunday of the month, and we'll be having our fellowship dinner right after the morning service, and we hope that you can stay with us for that. It's just a good time, one of the more informal times that we have to get together. And it's always good to be with each other. So we trust that you can stay with us after the service for this dinner. And then regarding Sunday evening, for those of you who don't normally come on Sunday evening, we try to provide a meal of some sort after the evening service. Again, another time of fellowship. And this is handled a little bit differently. We have people who sign up, a couple of families each week. And for various reasons, the list changes every now and then, and there are some vacancies on that to continue this ministry. So if you want to help or you just need some more information, talk to Janet Humphrey about that and see perhaps if you can fill in, get on one of the weekends or one of the Sunday evenings on a rotating basis. It's just a good ministry. And so if you can help, we would really appreciate you signing up. On the back, a couple of other announcements. Not sure of all the goals of the activity committee, but you're going to get together on April 3rd, Friday, at Carson's house. And this is a committee apparently to maybe make sure that we have ongoing activities, events, probably. And so if you want to get involved in that and are interested in it, or you just, again, need more information, you can talk to either Kristen Carson or Sheena Daniel, and their phone numbers are in the bulletin. But if this is some area that you would like to get involved in, then plan on that meeting on April 3rd and talk to Sheena or talk to Kristen about that. And then on Sunday, April 5th, will be our final Awana program. We don't follow the official Awana schedule that runs up to the end of May or June. We end early, and we will be quitting our program this year on April 5th. And they have a final awards program. And if you've ever been there, what it is all the clubbers come, and they kind of give us an idea of the things that they have been learning and memorizing and whatnot, with a time of fellowship afterwards. So plan ahead for April 5th, and it's always a good time to see what the kids have been learning in the clubs during the year. And then just a personal note from me and from the family to thank you all for your support over the last several weeks. I don't want to begin naming any names because just too many. And I will miss your name probably, so I don't want to do that. But just all the support and encouragement we've gotten with the cards and the calls and the visits, the meals, the zillion of you that honored Bernie with memorial Bibles to the Gideons, just a large number in that. And we just appreciate all of that. And we, as I said in the bulletin, y'all are very special to us, and we thank the Lord for each one of you, and just are very much encouraged by you over these past weeks. So thank you. Ron's going to come and lead us in our service. We want to sing some solid hymns of praise to the Lord, and then later on look into his word about one of his gifts to us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And trust it'll be a blessing. So we'll ask Ron to come.
Take your hymn book and turn to number 262, Holy, Holy, Holy. And we're going to stand and sing together this great hymn of the faith.
Thank you.
together. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity of gathering together. You said we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but we come together to exhort each other. We ask that you this morning might be truly worshipped, that we might hear your voice speak to us as you as your word is shared. Would you bless John as he shares this morning? Would you give him the words to say and the things that we need to hear? And God, we ask too that we might be in touch with you. Might our prayers to you and our singing bring great glory and praise to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, please, over to number 12. Number 12, Holy God, we praise thee. Seated. If you're turning your Bibles, we're going to have Rick come and read, but to Acts chapter 2, we'll be reading from verses 16 to 33. Acts chapter 2.
Beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Both God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these promises from your word. We thank you that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you for the hope that we have. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I pray that you would speak to us now through your word and through John, and that the Holy Spirit would confirm these truths in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful time we live in, that we of all people could experience not God in a building, but God in us. We're going to read about the Holy Spirit, number 644, as a responsive reading in the back of your hymn book, number 644. Years and years ago, the prophets were wondering about this time. They were trying to look into it to see what was going to happen. But as Paul said, that was a mystery, was hidden. And if it was known by the rulers, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. So God kept it a hidden mystery. Let's read together. I'll read the fine print if you'll read the heavy print. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Of sin, because they do not believe in me.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more.
Of judgment.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
On his own authority, that whatever he hears, he will speak, and
He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Would you turn, please, number 371. We'll stand and sing together. Have thine own way, Lord. We'll sing all four verses. Let's stand together.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Let's pray, please. Father, we sing of your holiness and your greatness. And when we sing of your holiness and your greatness, we also sing of the Holy Son and the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for being the triune God this morning. Father, as we look at these passages that pertain specifically to the Holy Spirit, help us not to forget that we worship you all of you, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have been blessed to be called by your name as Christians. We have been blessed to have the Holy Spirit in us. We have been blessed to be able to call you our Father. I just pray as we look at some of these very familiar passages and as we review perhaps some very familiar truths, that we might see a little bit clearer, a little bit better how it is we are to be and the provision you have made for us to be that. So teach us. Teach us from your word. Father, just quiet our hearts before you. You know the ones who are here. You know the things of the week that are going on in our minds and how busy we get. And we just pray that you would quiet us before you and that you would teach us. And we'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. We are in this section of John chapters 13 through 17, which is, we can never forget, this is a conversation, if you will, that Jesus had with his disciples on the night just before his crucifixion. In just a very few hours, he would be crucified. And so he's not teaching them in terms of a doctrinal outline and that sort of thing, but he's just talking with them. Last things, if you will, pertaining to his departure and their life and so on. And so we, over the next couple of weeks, we won't be going through verse by verse as we have normally done, but we're going to just pick out some themes because you know how conversations around a table go, and that's what they're doing. They're having dinner and they're just talking. And a subject would come up and then another one and then they come back and it just kind of rolls back and forth. And some of these themes are repeated several times. And so we're just going to kind of pick subjects to go through 14, 15, and 16 rather than go through verse by verse. But I trust we'll cover some of it, at least some of the basic things that the Lord wanted his disciples to know. Now, to sort of set the stage, I just think about your own family sitting around the dinner table. And, you know, your meal has been served and you're eating. And just in the course of conversation, you look over the table and you see all your family sitting there. And you just make the announcement that you're leaving. Now, you haven't told them this particularly, or very specifically before, but you just say, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow. But don't worry, you'll be okay. Now, guys, try that on your wife. Don't worry, you'll be okay. I'll take care of you. You won't be left alone. It's just that I'm leaving. Now, you can imagine if the kids were old enough and the wife, you know, once she recovered from her shock, what she would say. And the questions, the why and the how and the what and the what if this and what about that. And, you know, I mean, just, let's see. And so you calm them down. And you say, well, I understand you have a problem with that. Yeah. But I can't answer all your questions because you can't understand it all. I mean, that'll help too, right? No sense me talking about me leaving because you can't understand it. See? And besides, you've heard enough to know what you ought to know. See? And you can imagine their minds are just running. What is going on here? What's going to happen? And so you continue with your presentation, sort of, and say, I'll tell you what. Here's the solution to a problem. I'm leaving, but I know another person. I have this friend. We think alike. We act alike. We'll talk alike. And I'll send him to take care of you. Don't worry. Don't worry. See? He'll be as good to you as I have been to you. And then you leave. That probably would not go over well in our families. But that's what the Lord was doing this night. He was setting them up for that. See? And that's what went on in the upper room. We have all this kind of glamorous little deal of the apostles sitting at the table and the Lord in the middle and, you know, all the paintings and stuff. See? And what he has really done is just kind of thrown a hand grenade into the midst of them. Because he has just in a very few words in chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 just completely destroyed life as they knew it. The change that he was proposing for them was so drastic that it was just like it'd be a new life. Even the concept that he wasn't going to be with them. They had never really considered that before. And here he was saying, it's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know. You see, he'd been with them at least for 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. And he took care of his disciples. He called them and said, follow me. And they left everything and followed him. And as they followed him, he supplied their needs. They didn't lack for anything. Now, they may have gone hungry for a little bit, but sooner or later, he supplied all their needs. He protected them. He took the brunt of the attacks. He taught them. He rebuked them. He encouraged them. Whatever they needed, he supplied. See, in every situation, for three and a half years, he was their life. And they had, in a sense, other than Judas, they had given themselves to him completely and said, I'm following you. And he said, I'll be your life. And he, you know, he took care of them. And in chapter 15, he finally gets around, by the way, to calling them not his disciples, but his friends. There was a bond between them. And in 12 hours, maybe less than 12 hours, he was going to be gone. And all of that, at least in their minds, all of that is gone. And this setting brings us, see, if you understand that, and the drastic change that he was proposing or telling him was going to happen. This setting brings us to one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. See? And when you try to describe your faith, I hope you understand that you need to include as a Christian the doctrine here. See? Of what is unique about being a Christian? How do I live? See. And that's what we pick up in chapter 14 and 15 and 16. I'm leaving you, but 14 verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. Now he's talking to his disciples, but by extension he's talking to us, and we are not alone in this world. And he's not talking about the person that's sitting next to you. He's talking about himself. I will not leave you like an orphan. And an orphan back in those days had no resources, no protection, no anything, no family, no way to live. They were helpless and hopeless. And he says, I'm not going to leave you like that. Something about this promise means that they were going to go on living, see, because he was going to be with them. He would not leave them alone. He says, I will come to you. Now, Certainly, he's going to come back after the resurrection. We have history on our side. He did come back after the resurrection. And certainly, he's coming again whenever he comes again. But I'm suggesting they didn't know about the resurrection, and they didn't know about his coming again, and that probably wouldn't have been any comfort. Hey, I will come to you. I'll not leave you alone. I'll come to you in 2,000 years. See, that's not much comfort to somebody who thinks they're going to be alone. Don't tell me 2,000 years. What about tomorrow? What about tonight? See, I think he's promising them something for right then. And by extension, he's promising us something for our life right now, not just when he comes again. See. He says, I'm going to the Father, back up to heaven where he came from, but I won't forget you. See. When I get to the Father, what I'm going to do, see, I'll remind him of you. I'll say, Father, do you remember those guys down there? Do you remember those people down there? Do you remember my disciples down there? I want you to do something for me. See, this conversation. I will ask him on your behalf, and he will send you, verse 16 of chapter 14, he will give you another helper. Now, I believe that passage in Acts 2 that Rick read for us is basically when this took place. The Father gave to the Son the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so, historically, it's happened. But this is what he's saying. Hey, I'm leaving, but I'll ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. See? A paraclete. Another one. In answer, and remember, it's in answer to the Son's request that this one comes. See? It's not in answer to our requests. It's in answer to the Son's request. The Son asks the Father, and the Father gives this paraclete. And it is the provision that the Lord has made to take care of his disciples because he's not here anymore. See? He really left them. He went back in heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. See? That's where he is. See? In a resurrected body, I believe. And he's there. He's not here. And yet, see, I will come to you. Father, give them another helper. The word is paraclete. See. And this is the provision that the Lord has made. This is the provision that the Father has made to help us live. See. Understand what we're saying. This is how God enables us to live today, by this one whom he has sent. Take care of his friends, his people. Now we understand about eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And we understand about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and so on. We'll get to that, but he's not talking about he's going to save us. He's talking about he is the enablement for us to live. He is what is given to people who think that they are here alone. And he says, no, we're not alone. We have this one sent from God. The word is paraclete, and in Greek it just comes from the words, it means to call alongside. I think maybe some of you have something that says comforter. And that's a good word if you're living back in 1611 or maybe earlier than that when John Wycliffe made it comforter. And just understand, when you read comforter, it's not the one that pats you on the back and says, there, everything will be okay, see? A comfort comes from Latin, cum forte, with strength, forte, with strength, see? That's the word. And so the comforter, the one called alongside, is, among other things, one who strengthens you, not just pats you on the shoulder and says, it'll be okay. Don't cry, see? It strengthens you. Not a consoler, but a comforter. In 1 John chapter 2, it's translated, he's our advocate. He stands alongside in a court, if you will. See, he's our advocate. He pleads our case in that sense. Most of the newer versions use the word helper because that's broad enough to cover anything. You need help, he's the helper. See, whatever the help is, whatever the circumstances, whatever the need is, he is the one. He is the helper. And that's all well and good, but the main lesson is not that he's the strengthener and the one who's called alongside and he's the helper. The main lesson in chapter 14 is he is the replacement for Jesus Christ being here physically. He came because Christ was leaving. He came to replace Jesus Christ in our life physically. He's another helper. Well, if you have another, you had to have one to begin with. And Christ was, in that sense, the helper. Christ was the one who supplied, who protected, who gave us life, who instructed, who took care of us. See? And he's gone, and now we have another one to do that function. Another, an exact replacement. And when you read in verse 16, he will give you another helper. That's another of the same kind. It's an exact replacement. And if you like to deal with things like the doctrine of the Trinity and the equality of the persons and the identity of the persons in the Trinity, and here we have this Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, and they're identical. See, this is an interesting verse in terms of the persons of the Trinity. See, he will do, he will be, he will take care of, he will whatever, he will help. Exactly like Jesus did when he was here. And verse 16 says that he may be with you forever. The Son prays the Father, Father, send them the Helper to be with them forever. It's not just here one day and gone the next. It's not just when you need help, then he comes and helps and then he's gone. See, he is sent and he comes, sent by the Father, and he's with us forever. Never, ever will he leave. I never need to fear that he'll go. It's a permanent presence of this one who is with us, this helper. Verse 17 says he's the Spirit of truth. And in whatever situation I'm in, he communicates truth and he communicates reality, see, with respect to what's really happening in my life. No fantasy and no wispiness and no mystery and no just stuff. Reality, truth. He's concerned. He deals with me in life right here. See. Truth in revelation. He will show me things that are true and are real. And truth in application and reality in application. He will say, hey, this is what's happening. This is how you need to be. He deals in truth. And the world doesn't have any idea what's happening with us. This is unique to us as believers. They wonder, how can we live? How can we go through life? How can we go through the day? How can we go through this time? How do you know so much? How are you so wise and discerning? How do you come up with the right solution for that crisis? He's the Spirit of truth. That's what He does. He enables us to live. See? And the world hasn't the foggiest idea what's going on here. They just don't know. They can't receive Him. They can't see Him. They can't hear Him. They can't understand. See? And it's not as though we're hearing voices. You know, we're just kind of wondering, like running through life listening for a voice. We don't hear voices. We have a spirit, see, that communicates with us. We know how to live. See. He's the provision of the Father to the Son's people who are still here in this world. You and me, see. It's an amazing thought that God up in heaven and the Son up in heaven still take care of us, see, because of this one whom they sent. And we know Him because He's in us. He abides with us and will be in us, see. He is not alongside of me. That's, don't take that paraclete, one called alongside, too literally. He is not there. See, He is here. His Spirit, my Spirit, we are here, see. I don't have to look to see Him. I don't have to listen to hear Him. He abides with us and in us. We're His temple. It's amazing. Amazing. That's why Jesus, back in John chapter 7, in the verses I put in the bulletin, talking about, if any man's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit. See, out of his innermost being flows liver, not out of over there or whatever, but see. He is with me. He is in me. And that's what the Son promised when He was leaving. He says, I'll not leave you alone. I'll come to you. And I think in the person of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the Father and the Son, I mean, you can't split them up. See? And when you jump ahead, verse 26, the Helper, Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. See? I don't like Holy Ghost. You get Casper running around in a little white sheet, right? But He's a Holy Spirit. And especially in today, we need to remember that first word, holy. We live in a day, and you know, it's been the last 10, 15, 20 years, this so-called revival thing, when all sorts of nonsense and blasphemy is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to ascribe to the Holy Spirit, it had better be holy. It had better be holy, because that's what he is. And he's sent by the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus' name refers to his characteristics and his quality of him, and it better be corresponding to what Jesus is. It had better fit Jesus. It had better fit not the world's life. See, we live in the world, but we don't live like the world. See, it had better not be like the world. See, and it's not common, and it's not low level. See, it's not out of control. It's not useless. It's not immoral. It's not all the crazy things that happen. I could tell you stories about things happening in his name. Stuff we've visited back in other days. Holy laughter. Dancing on the seats of the pews. You ever seen one of those? As the Spirit took you. Jumping out of windows. Slain in the Spirit. Cackling like a chicken in the Spirit. Barking like a dog in the Spirit. On and on and on. See? Running away with someone else's wife in the Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit sent in Jesus' name to help Jesus' people live in this world. And it'll bring things to our remembrance. All that I said to you. See, we don't know everything. And we can't remember everything. And we just can't have at our fingertips and in our mind everything that the Lord wants us to know. And so what happens is we have the Holy Spirit that says, okay, here's this situation. Remember this. See? Over in 1 John chapter 2, you get at least one application of that. Starting at about verse 18 in chapter 2, John talks about people that knock on your door or send you literature or come across on your TV. See? And you say, well, they sound good. They used some right words. They're doing all these things. Look at all their success. How do I know? See? Verse 20 of John, 1 John chapter 2. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Verse 26. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you abide in him. You see, we know. We can discern truth from error. We're not in danger of falling away when somebody comes with a different doctrine that sounds good. The Holy Spirit that's in us says, no, look at this, look at that. It's not true, see. He's the one sent to tell us how to live in this world as Christians. And I think the the doctrine, if you will, of the Holy Spirit indwelling is the thing above all else that makes Christianity unique. Now, I know some other people hold other things that say this is what's unique about Christianity. I think it's the indwelling Holy Spirit. See? We have God in us, enabling us to live as His people. Think about that. Marvelous truth. Unbelievable truth. That's the essence, by the way, of being spiritual. See? I want to be spiritual. I want to be a spiritual person. See? We have the Spirit. Galatians, Paul tells us in chapter 5, if we live by the Spirit, if that's a principle of life in us, let's walk that way. Let's live that way, see? We are spiritual people because of the indwelling, abiding, eternally abiding Holy Spirit sent to us, because the Lord is no longer here to take care of us in the same way that He did before His death and burial and resurrection and ascension. And so, not leaving us alone, the Father sent the Spirit, another helper, because the first helper is in heaven at the right hand of God. See? That's how we live. That's how we live. That's how we know how to live. Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and brings them to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit takes the things of the Lord and teaches us. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and teaches us and says, this is how you live. See? We need to develop a sensitivity to that ministry, to that indwelling, to that help. See? It's reasonable biblically to sing, Spirit of God, my teacher be. See? Showing the things of Christ to me. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I need to say, Lord, teach me your way. See? Show me your things. And then just understand, the Holy Spirit says, here. It involves His Word. It'll never be apart from this. Never be apart from this. I don't believe you're going to get new revelation. You may get some interesting thoughts that you never had before, and you may get some applications that you didn't understand before. But here's truth. See, it'll never be apart from this. And the Holy Spirit takes the words of Christ that we know and brings them to our remembrance. Takes the passages that we don't understand and says, this is what it's talking about. See, right here in this life and here and here and here. See, we live as Christians because we have the Holy Spirit as our helper. It involves an attitude of obedience. Lord, teach me your way. I will obey it. Lord, show me your way. I will accept it. Make it clear to me, Lord, what you want me to do. I'll do it. See. It involves that kind of a heart attitude. That's how we live. That's how we live. That's the provision that the Lord has made for us to live as His people. I'm going, but I'll not leave you alone. I'm going, and I'll ask the Father, and He will send you another Comforter that He may abide with you and be in you. And when He is here, the Spirit of Truth, He'll guide you into all truth, and He will show you things about Me, and He will show you things to come, and He will tell you how to live. See? And that's a marvelous thing. It is a marvelous thing that the Lord does for each one of us. The Lord has done for each one of us. And I would encourage you, and it's kind of undefined, but I would encourage you to develop the attitude that says, Lord, today is Sunday. Teach me Your way. Lord, tomorrow will be Monday. And when we wake up on Monday, Lord, teach me Your way. See? Lord, how do I live at work? How do I live at school? How do I live at home? How do I live? See? Teach me Your way. And the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and teaches us marvelous provision. And I trust you'll begin to realize that in your own life, that we can live. We can live down here because God has made that provision for us, and it's the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that it's hard to be specific and apply because it's individual lives here. But You know. And You have made provision so that everyone here who names the name of Christ can live as a Christian. I pray for hearts that would be open to Your teaching through Your word. I pray for hearts that would be accepting what You have them to do. I pray for lives that would be to Your honor and to Your glory, because we are taught by You. So in some way, Lord, take these words and apply them to each one here. We'll ask it in Your name. Amen. Take your hymnals, please. Turn to number 259. One of the few hymns that we sing to the Holy Spirit, if you notice in hymn books, we don't sing a lot of them directly to the Holy Spirit. But this is one that somehow seems to fit. We are asking the Holy Spirit to do His work in us. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what Thou dost love, do what Thou wouldst do. Till my heart is pure, until my will is one with Thine, till I am wholly Thine. See, that's what the Holy Spirit will do, is teach us how to live, show the things of Christ to us. Let's stand, please. We'll sing all four verses of number 259. And then, Steve, would you come, please, and close in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the way you work through your Spirit is a mystery. It's marvelous, surprising in many ways. And Father, we think of even our own beginning of the Christian life and how Jesus identified, much like the way the wind blows, blow upon us and you redeem us, you give us new life. And then throughout our lives we have your Spirit who teaches us, who strengthens us, who encourages us, who blesses us. Thank you for the marvel of our Comforter. We are grateful, Father, for your word, which reveals to us the fact that we have one with us. And so, Father, we ask that we would be a people that would walk according to your Spirit's promptings, being strengthened and growing in grace. We thank you now for a time in which we can gather around the table for fellowship. Thank you for your provision of our physical needs through food. And we would ask that our times together would be enjoyable and a blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.